Hello, this is KPTZ, Port Townsend, 91.9 FM on your radio dial. And for you virtual listeners, the website is kptz.org. That's where you can listen to today's show. You can also sample some of our earlier shows. They're up there as podcasts. In fact, much of the original programming on KPTZ is currently available as podcasts. Double your listening pleasure. Listen to us live and listen to some other shows. You'll love it. I'm Marianne McNellis, and this show is called Our Town. Have you ever wondered who the people are that you see every day around the area? Who are those people streaming off the ferry? It's definitely not tourist season. What are they doing here? And who's that woman tacking up notices at the co-op? Is she selling something? Is she running a class? And what about the guy pacing back and forth outside the post office, shouting into his cell phone? This show, Our Town, profiles some of the fascinating people who live and work in Jefferson County. We talk with the people who make up the eclectic mix around here. We talk about their lives, their dreams, and how they ended up on the western edge of the continent. Over time, we'll be talking with firefighters and foodies, bus drivers and teenage beauty queens, lawyers and the ladies who lunch. We try to find out what makes them tick and what they think about living in beautiful Jefferson County amid the deer, the otters, and even the soaring eagles. Listening to Our Town is a way to meet some of Port Townsend's authentic and even eclectic people, your neighbors, your friends, and particularly the people you don't know yet, but you'd like to meet them. Today, we're going to be talking with two of Port Townsend's entrepreneurs, two women who launched a store largely on a dream. Today, I have with me Carrie Hartman and Numaka Swan, the proprietors of Bazaar Girls, a not-all-that-tiny establishment on Quincy Street. Bazaar Girls is a haven for those who knit, crochet, felt, or do anything with fiber. Their website calls it a fiber emporium. Before we go any further, I just want our listeners to understand that there are two different bazaars. There's the bazaar with an I, which is when something is truly weird and offbeat. And then there's the bazaar with an A, which is an emporium where goods are bought and sold. Although there are certainly moments when the bazaar with an I fits the shop, for the most part, it's a bazaar with an A for the special things inside. So welcome to the show, ladies.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Carrie, why don't we start with you? Are you a local Port Townsend girl? Were you born and bred here?
No. I was born in South Florida and moved here about 14 years ago, and okay. I love it.
Okay. And was it a direct straight shot, Florida to Port Townsend?
Nope. There was a 10-year break in Montana.
Yeah, well, those are three very different locations, I would say, Florida, Montana, and Port Townsend. And how did you happen to discover Port Townsend?
My husband, who I met in Montana, had always come out here. His background was in dairy, and there were some dairy possibilities out here, and we came out here mostly for that. And we loved the area. I loved it the first time I came.
You said that was in 2003?
2002.
Okay, and Numaka, I'll ask you the same question. Are you also a local girl?
I grew up in Montana, in the Bitterroot Valley, south of Missoula. And from there, I traveled to Alaska, where I lived for 10 years.
Oh, what'd you do in Alaska?
Well, for the first 5 years, I and my then husband, he is a commercial fisherman, so we fished and we raised sled dogs.
Sled dogs, wow.
Yes, I had 43 dogs and goats and chickens. And
well, I guess if you have 43 dogs, they don't sleep in the bed with you.
Some of them had to take turns, but most of them were Alaskan huskies and they didn't have any interest in even being inside.
Ah, okay. How did you transition out of that to Port Townsend, or was there another step or two in the middle?
Quite a few steps.
Okay.
Yes, I had children and got divorced. My family had moved from Montana over to Washington, and at some point it was very isolated and cold up there and hard to be on my own, so I decided I wanted to be closer to family, so I came to Washington.
So how many children do you have?
I have a lot of children, but I've given birth to three.
Uh-huh. And were they quite young when you were up there in Alaska with them?
Yes. Yeah, they were small.
Well, that must have made it even harder being up there on your own, having little kids.
They were all born there.
And so you moved to Washington. You had family here. Were they in Jefferson County?
No, they were in the Olympia area, mm-hmm. where they still live.
I see. And how did you pitter-pat over to here?
driving around the peninsula. I just never really connected with Olympia. It was not my place. And a friend and I drove around the peninsula and happened upon Port Townsend. And I just knew this. I was actually in several years before I moved here. I just knew that this was my place and I was going to live here someday.
Okay, now an issue many people face when they first come to Port Townsend is there aren't all that many jobs here. So short of being independently wealthy, most people need a job. So when you came, did you have a job ready for you?
I actually did. I answered an ad in the paper before I moved up here, and I started out working at All My Relations, which was a nonprofit that is not around anymore.
Okay, that's great. Carrie, what about you? When you first came to town, did you have a ready-made job?
I did not, but I started working at a bakery and got a caregiving license in Montana before I came because I knew there was always that kind of work, and right. It's work that I have always enjoyed. I've always had a soft spot for elderly people, so I did some of that, and in fact, that's how Numaka and I met. We were both caregivers. Took care of the same gentleman out in Cape George for about 7 years together.
Wow. Now, you just said something I really wasn't aware of, that I didn't know that there were licenses to be a caregiver.
Yeah, it's a CNA license, a certified nursing assistant license, and we both had them. They've both been expired. But yeah, it's pretty basic.
Well, that's really good. I'm happy to hear there is some sort of licensing for that, care and all of this. So you both ended up caring for the same gentleman. How did that happen?
Word of mouth is how into private caregivers usually find work. And mm-hmm. I had found this man by word of mouth. And someone gave me a list of other people that I could call. And Numaka was on that list.
So he needed more than what
he
you
needed
could provide.
More, yeah. Eventually, he became full-time care. And so we needed a team.
But usually caregivers, you know, one's there from, you know, 2 to 10, the other's there from whatever. So you don't spend a lot of time together. Is that what happened in your experience?
Yeah, we worked together for 7 years, but we didn't really work together much. We crossed paths in the night, but Bob was well cared for, and we knew that about each other, that we could depend on each other, and that was just the two of us for a long time. Eventually, at the very end, we needed to bring in more people as he declined, but it was just the two of us, and it was very smooth, seamless.
And did you schedule any time the two of you just would get together to talk about things or get to know each other?
Very little, no?
Actually. Yeah, we always saw each other because one came in and one came out. But
you didn't know.
Yeah, so we kept a log book as to what was going on with Bob.
Right, and so how did the concept of the shop first come up?
I had always worked part-time at the Twisted U, and they decided that they didn't want to do it anymore, and Numaka and I were working together on a different creative project. I called her up and said, "You want to buy a yarn shop with me?"
And I said yes, even though I didn't knit.
Yeah, no, that was a question I had, you know, owning a yarn shop. You're avid knitters, or what's your craft?
I'm an avid knitter. What I sometimes, instead of avid, say is compulsive.
Okay.
And a lot of us tend to have kind of a compulsive personality, and knitting soothes that and satisfies it at the same time.
Well, so Numaka, you just said you didn't knit, or do you now?
I do knit now, not compulsively.
I see.
But I do know how. In fact, I taught someone to knit for the first time last week, which felt really good.
Wow. What was the first thing you made?
The first thing I made was a scarf.
I would imagine that's
where
pretty
we start.
Standard. Yeah, because there aren't quite as many things you can screw up in a scarf as a sweater or something like that.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. So you went from organizing a bazaar to taking over the Twisted U. And what's the next transition?
Well, we were at the Twisted U for a year. When we took over the shop, we just kind of went in, and we brought in a lot of new stuff and everything, but we just kind of slipped in. We didn't have a lease or anything. And after we'd been there for a year, the building owner decided he wanted to do renovations and had everyone leave that building. So we had to find a new home. We knew right away that even though the first year was difficult, Numaka and I started this business without a lot of capital at all. And we struggled, and we were kind of on a side street. So it was difficult to see all the people walking down Water Street and not turning the corner onto Washington. So we saw it as an opportunity to maybe be more front and center. And we started looking for places. And as soon as we found our current location, it's like Numaka said about knowing Port Townsend was our home. We really did everything we could to secure that and decided to take another big risk together.
Big jump.
It tripled our rent, and it almost doubled our space.
And when did you officially open? When did you move in there?
June 1st. This next June will be 4 years.
Yeah, it was 2013.
Well, at least the economy was back on the uptick a bit by then.
Yeah, it was.
Were you involved in the Twisted U during the worst of the dip? I think they call it the Great Recession.
Maybe. A little. I literally worked for yarn because, as I mentioned earlier, I am a compulsive knitter. As most compulsive knitters, we develop good taste. And so we have to do something to feed our habit. And I thought, well, I can just work here one day a week and that will feed my yarn habit, or
well,
2 days a month.
Surprised at something you told me the other day. I'm not a knitter, and I had no idea how much yarn might cost, because why would I if I don't? So what is the price range?
Well, it's really important to us that we keep a range because we want things to be accessible. So our least expensive skein of yarn is probably $5, Nature Spun Sport. Yeah, $5. Yeah. And our most expensive skein of yarn is Wonderland Unicorn for $39.50. But it is like a unicorn. It's sparkly and beautiful and mohair. And we really like to work with smaller companies, which usually means they're a little more expensive. Independent dyers, small mills. And that's why people love our store. They come in and they see stuff that they haven't seen other places. And when you're a tourist, That's exciting, and it's exciting for our locals to see stuff that's from Bellingham or from Bainbridge. Or,
you know, I've heard the term many times, a skein of yarn, but what is that? How much yarn is it, Numaka?
It can be any, a skein is, it can be any size yarn.
Really?
It's just the, what would you call it, the strands of yarn before it's wound. So it can be 100 yards or it could be 1,000 yards, and it would still be a skein.
Yeah.
That's a little hard to grapple with as an outsider, you know, because I sort of expect it to be like a pound of this, or, you know, like a...
Well, there are other ways to define that, but the skein, it's like saying I have a ball of yarn. Well, how much yarn is in the ball?
Mm-hmm.
It varies.
100 grams is average, but there's a lot that fall outside of that.
So you've had the store for 4 years now, so you have a bit of experience. In terms of your clientele, do you have any sort of guesstimate on what percentage are locals versus people who are visiting in the summer particularly?
Not exactly a percentage, but I like to say that we have two seasons, which is different than a lot of businesses downtown. We do rely on the tourists, but we also have a really strong local base because there are a lot of people in this area and in the surrounding areas who are fiber people.
How do you define fiber people?
Well, to recognize them.
Well, there's all different kinds of fiber people. There are artists, people who want to create things. There are fiber people could be somebody who makes paintings by needle felting, or somebody who weaves, somebody who spins, somebody who likes to dye yarn.
There are many different categories. You've got knitting, crocheting, spinning.
Spinning.
What else?
Felting.
And weaving.
Crewel embroidery and embroidery with floss. Like Numaka said, people actually kind of paint with wool. Kind of amazing.
Interesting.
With needles, and you basically just poke things into place, and people can get very detailed, make three-dimensional things or flat things.
Well, you do some unusual things with your shop space. Having been there a little bit, I could say, you know, it's sort of a gathering place.
That was always really important to us. And that was always what was really exciting about the space, because we have that view, and we right away said, from here back is the classroom. You know, we walked into empty space, and we both just were really excited about that idea.
We've always had a bigger vision than just to have a retail store. Our Bazaar Girls is, it's a community center. So the classroom is more than a classroom, it's a gathering place.
But you do some classes there, right?
We do classes.
What? Yes. What sort of classes? What can you learn there?
Well, we have regular wet felting classes, which includes a type of wet felting, which is Nuno felting or needle felting. We also have spinning classes, both with the drop spindle and with the spinning wheel. Knitting classes, both for the very, very beginners and more advanced. Yeah. Crochet classes. What else?
We've had special teachers come in and do some like design or technique classes.
Can you just sort of come by and say, I'd like to attend a class, and when are they?
Our classes are on our website, but for beginning knitting, we always offer to do one-on-one anytime. We have at least three people that teach that, and we can schedule it anytime, and we can schedule it for a group. And for spinning and felting, our main teacher is in Squim, and she does regularly schedule classes, but she's also willing to come up for three people. If you have three friends that say, I want to learn to spin, she'll schedule it. And we'll make it happen.
You're listening to KPTZ 91.9 FM, Port Townsend. I'm Marianne McNellis. This show's called Our Town. Each segment profiles one of the fascinating people who helped make Port Townsend the eclectic melting pot at the end of the rainbow. Today I actually have two guests, business partners who founded and run the Fiber Emporium Bazaar Girls. Carrie Hartman and Numaka Swan met here in Port Townsend and ultimately decided to launch a business together. As partners, have you had any major problems? I mean, I'm sure they're daily.
We're about as different as two people can be, which works really well for us most of the time.
Yep. How would you define the difference?
Well, for example, I was just gone for a week, and everybody said, wow, the table is completely clear and clean and organized, and so you know where the phone is when it rings. And
I take it that means Numaka is tidier than you are.
Numaka is tidier than I am. Numaka also really has the eye for the space and how she wants to arrange things. And you know, a box comes in, and I'm just like, I don't know where to put it or what to do with it, and she always makes it look really beautiful. She's kind of a little bit more behind the scenes. I'm more the extrovert. She's more the introvert. And
well, it's good to
so
have
I probably
balance.
Know her better than most of our customers know her. She's there a lot, but she's kind of behind the scenes.
Carrie's the hostess.
Okay, she's the hostess.
Yes.
And what about the bookkeeping? Who does that sort of stuff?
I do the bookkeeping and a lot of the publishing, flyers and the website.
Okay. Yeah. And who picks out the stuff?
We both do.
We do that together.
Do that together.
Yes.
And
yeah.
We have pretty almost always similar taste in that, which is sometimes hard because sometimes we have to buy stuff that neither of us necessarily like that much. I mean, we feel good about it for a certain reason, but...
Like what? Can you use an example?
Well, personally for me, this is just a personal thing. I'm not a big fan of knitting with cotton. I am a wool girl from beginning to end. I love wool. I love goats too. cashmere and mohair. But there are people that have allergies or that don't want to work with that. So we need to stock cotton and other fibers. And also keeping in that price world, there's yarns that we carry that I feel really good about. But as the owner of a yarn shop that gets to knit with whatever she wants, I wouldn't necessarily knit with them. Because
yeah.
I have become more of a snob. But we want to have that thing that an acrylic wool blend, for example, that that you can make a baby blanket and not spend $100. So we want to carry those things.
Yeah, true. Most people want washable baby blankets.
Exactly. Exactly.
For obvious reasons.
Exactly,
yes.
Exactly, yes.
Okay,
yeah.
So back to the buying of the goods. If you were traveling recently, if you wandered into a place and saw some fabulous wool or whatever, would you call your partner or would you just go ahead and order some? What would you do?
That hasn't really come up. Actually, the last time I was in Wisconsin a year ago, I got to visit with one of the yarns that we we had already decided we wanted to carry it together, but I got to visit with the importers of it. It's actually from Denmark, but the importers are in Wisconsin, and they're the main distributors of this yarn called Connie, which we both immediately fell in love with when we saw it. So there is that. But we are open 7 days a week, so we don't leave much. We don't get to go on yarn buying tours. Mostly what we find comes to us through distributors and reps, and we have a couple reps that go to TNNA, and they kind of specialize in the small companies, and one in particular that we love. She finds us stuff, and she kind of likes our style and knows us. Says, I think you're gonna love this.
Do you keep certain types all the time and then rotate through new things, or how does it work?
Well, we have built relationships with certain dyers and spinners, and so they come up with new things, and we will rotate that through. But we're pretty loyal to our people, and we know what lines of yarn that we want to carry.
But within that, there have been some that we had and then thought we wouldn't get again, and then there's some that we'll have forever, like Lamb's Pride. I think I associate with the Twisted U. It's one of the yarns that we teach with, one of the first things that I started knitting with, and we'll just always have that. And we'll always have Spin Cycle, and we'll always have Joystick Creek, and we'll always, but then we see new stuff and we want it and we get it, and then we see other new stuff.
Yeah, well, obviously you can't have everything.
Yeah, there's a lot out there. It's amazing. It's amazing to me touring different yarn shops in the area, how they're all different. I've walked into yarn shops in Seattle or Mount Vernon and been so surprised at how little crossover there can be, that they all kind of have the flavor of the owner or the owners, and they all specialize to their people, and it's just really fun to see what's out there.
You have very much a sort of community-based programming. Do other yarn shops do similar things that you're aware of, like your Crafternoon?
I think most yarn shops try to do some of that. I think most yarn shops do. Some don't have the space or don't necessarily want to devote as much time to that. We do it, I don't want to say with a vengeance, but we do it. it's a really big and important thing for us. I was just in Wisconsin, and I was really excited to see that this kind of dying little small town that my husband is from had an independent yarn shop again. And I walked in, and I felt so good. And they had a table that they invited me to sit at, and it felt like home.
Yeah. Now, I know you have a weekly evening thing, and women come by. Well, first of all, I say women. My mental image is women knitting or crafting, but one of you told me that's not necessarily true.
No, it's not necessarily true. We have, in fact, other than Carrie and myself, the two other people who work there regularly are men. Mm-hmm. And there are quite a few men who come through, who spin and knit and are involved in our groups.
Yeah, last 2 weeks ago, I guess we had three men at Nip and Knit, and we have a couple that come regularly, and then kind of a revolving door. In fact, right after you left last week, a young man and woman came in from, they were working at Copper Canyon Press, they're interns, mm-hmm. and saw a post on Instagram trying to connect with the millennials out there. And they came to Nip and Knit as a result of that. And he was just learning to knit, probably in his early 20s. And
okay, explain Nip and Knit to those of our listeners who don't know what it is.
Well, we have a night that's over 21, and people will often bring a bottle of wine, or we'll have a little nip. It doesn't get too wild, but we keep it as an adult function. And then on Sunday afternoons, we call Crafternoon, is all ages, and there's no nip.
Well, when I came by the Nip and Knit, Eloise had made some wonderful ginger snap cookies, so there are obviously some bakers in your crowd as well.
There are, and Eloise is, if you're out there, she's one of the best ones.
So what other events do you have planned longer range?
We have a very exciting retreat coming up in March, at the end of March, with two very well-known teachers and one up-and-coming teacher, Ann Budd and Nancy Bush and Jean DeCoster. And we are actually having a retreat at the Maritime Center.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Roughly how many people would attend something like that?
Up to 90.
Wow.
So we're that's why we have to do it at the Maritime Center. And Bud has been publishing knitting books for years, and she has quite a following. And Nancy Bush kind of specializes in Estonian lace, and she's actually in Estonia right now. She has quite a following too. Anne focuses on sweater design and fitting and really taking your knitting to the next level. I mean, these are retreats for people that know how to knit, want to expand their knowledge, and we're very excited about it. We've met both of them, well, all three of them, and it's nice.
Have you hosted a retreat before?
Yes, much smaller though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this will be our first venture with the Maritime Center.
Yeah, stepping up a bit.
Yes.
And, you know, you'll find this hard to believe, but we're running short on time. I did want to ask you both, obviously you work many hours at the shop, but you must have time for a few other things in your life. So Numaka, why don't you go first? What's the rest of your life like?
Oh boy. Well, as I mentioned earlier, I have a lot of kids. Most of them are teenagers now, and some of them are adopted or just extras. Uh-huh. My family and I have some land that we're building a house on, and I'm a caregiver. Uh-huh. So between caregiving and the shop and all the family, that takes up most of my time.
And when Numaka says building a house, she means she has hammers and nails in
yes.
her pocket.
It's one window at a time.
How far along is it?
Well, we're insulating.
Oh, wow.
So it's exciting.
Really making progress.
Yes.
That's excellent. Excellent. And Gary, what about you?
Well, I have no kids, and I have two fantail goldfish. They don't take up a lot of my time. So I really do knit a lot. I like to cook and bake, but my husband last night was just kind of whining about the short days, and he works out of town a fair bit, so I'm by myself. I like walking home in the dark and thinking, ooh, I can go home and knit. I don't have any social engagements. I don't have anything going on, so it really is a big part of what I do, and I'm interested in design, and I'm interested in, there's always something new for me to work with and see how I like it, and yarn kind of tells you what it wants to be. You know, something will come in and I'll right away think, this wants to be a sweater, or this wants to be a shawl, or
I've never looked at it that way.
This wants to be lacy,
okay.
And this wants to be wrapped around me,
okay.
You know.
One last question, which is this. Of these different subcategories of, I'll call them fiber artists, are there different personality types for the different areas?
Yes, I would think so, definitely.
Yeah, very much.
So quickly name one or two.
Well, I like to spin. I'm more of a spinner than a knitter, and that's something that I do by myself, and it's very meditative. It's not as social as knitting.
So that's a more introverted.
More introverted.
Okay, so you spin, you're more introverted, okay.
Maybe, not necessarily.
Maybe. Okay, what else?
But a little bit, I think. And weavers, I think, too, are a little more introverted because they can't bring all their looms to a gathering. But there is a Weaver's Guild in town, so they're not completely introverted. Crocheters seem to be a little more rebellious, wild than knitters.
Wild crocheters, okay.
They're hookers, you know. A lot of times crocheters maybe feel like redheaded stepchildren in yarn shops because we tend to have more knitting samples, and the knitting community has really grown a lot. But the crocheters are out there and they're doing interesting things, and they tend to maybe go off pattern a little more, I feel
off pattern.
I know, which is cool. And knitters do that too, but the crocheters are kind of, they're a little different, and they like being a little different, I think.
Okay.
And we like them for it.
All right. Well, thank you both for being on the show today. You're listening to KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM on the radio dial. This show is called Our Town. I'm your host, Marianne McNellis. My guests today have been Carrie Hartman and Numaka Swan, the duo who own the yarn shop Bazaar Girls. Like several other Port Townsend establishments, Bazaar Girls is more than just a business premise. Yes, they sell yarn and other things to feed your crafting soul, but it's also a gathering place, a mini community center where young and old crafters can gather to share their skills and their stories. It's part of the rich mix of Port Port Townsend. Meanwhile, keep listening to KPTZ 91.9 FM for more dynamic, eclectic community programming.
Our Town is an original KPTZ production created by Marianne McNellis and engineered by John McPherson.